This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Hey, welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Kind of a strange Twitter exchange going on right now, and incidentally, you can join the conversation or just say hi on Twitter, at Richard Serrett. Friday night, I sat in for George Norrie on Coast to Coast, and during the open lines portion of the program, I happened to mention that the night prior, I was in a fish and chip shop out in Burlington, west of Toronto, and our waitress was proudly flashing a necklace with a 666 on it, and she asked the mighty Aphrodite and I how we liked it. She could tell we were somewhat taken aback. And we both said in unison, we don't like it. Then she felt she owed us an explanation, I guess, and she went on to tell us that her son was born on the sixth day of the sixth month at the sixth hour. Anyway, as an Orthodox Christian, I was somewhat uncomfortable. I didn't make a huge deal about it, although now I have to say I regret ordering the soul. But seriously, I subscribe to the whole, you know, freedom of religion deal. So anyway, on Coast, I asked people how they would react, and it spawned 2 hours of conversation, which is carried over onto Twitter. One emailer said, I was no better than a misogynist and a homophobe after I admitted on air I only tipped the waitress 5%. I found that kind of amusing. One tweet asked, would it be okay if a Muslim refused to tip a waiter with the Star of David around his neck? To which I responded that there's no moral equivalency. 666, it's the mark of the beast, folks, the Antichrist. And I don't care if you're a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, or a humanist. The Antichrist, whether he's real or imagined, the Antichrist stands in opposition to all that's good. What does the Bible tell us about the Antichrist? He stands for death, destruction, famine, war, pestilence. It's pretty crystal clear. It's nihilistic. And someone tweeted that the Antichrist isn't real, so why would I ascribe those values to a mythical figure? And again, 666, it's a symbol. Symbols have meaning. That's what symbols are. We've invented symbols as shorthand, as code. And if you proudly display the symbol, it's a reasonable assumption that you espouse the values ascribed to the meaning of the symbol. Now, this waitress may not have, however, it's reasonable for people to react the way we did, I think. And as I say, we didn't go overboard. We didn't get up and leave, although we thought about it. Anyway, I'm sure that conversation is going to go on Twitter for some time. It's only been going on for the last 2,000 years, right? So why stop now? Hey, have you ordered your tickets yet to my all-day conference, Follow the Truth, the Conspiracy Show Summit? It's Sunday, November the 16th. It's fast approaching. It's at the Region Theater in Oshawa. 6 absolutely remarkable, compelling speakers. Roswell, the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident. Jim Peniston is going to be there. Crop circles, time travel, past lives. And Jim Elvidge. who was with us last week, will give us a presentation which posits that we may be living in a digital simulation, the Matrix. So go to followthetruth.tv, followthetruth.tv. For more information, call the box office at 905-721-3399. Mention the code Roswell and receive a special 25% discount off the price of your passes. Tickets are limited, and we want to keep this event somewhat intimate, so that's why we're limiting the tickets. So if you haven't ordered your passes, you best do it very, very soon, otherwise you might miss out. Followthetruth.tv, again, the box office, 905-721-3399. Hope to see you there. Also, if you go to followthetruth.tv, we've posted another radio contest question. Find the question at followthetruth.tv, call Tim here in studio tonight, be one of the first two callers with the correct answer, and you'll win a pair of passes to Follow the Truth. 416-360-0740. 416-360-0740. Answer the question on followthetruth.tv, and we'll take your name and number, and you'll have a pair of passes, the first two callers with the correct answer. I'm not sure if you were able to check out the Northern Lights where you're at, but apparently this weekend they've been putting on quite a show. Not only are they pretty nice to look at, I mean, they're spectacular, let's face it, but they can also disrupt radio and GPS signals. But here's the other thing that I've been wondering. With all that plasma from the sun and space slamming into Earth's atmosphere, I'm wondering if it's affecting moods and our health. I'm talking to so many people out there these days who are feeling kind of down, not only lethargic, overly tired, even depressed, anxious. And I have to include myself in that camp. I've been very anxious lately, and I don't know why. I'm wondering if it could be the result of cosmic energy. I know I was seriously affected by the supermoons we had this summer, and there's some research to back that up. They can cause sleep disruption. Well, I'm going to introduce you to somebody now who I know will have something to say about that. He's a longtime friend of this program and of mine. I've known him for 20 years, going back to my early days as a producer in talk radio, and he's never ceased to amaze me with his uncanny abilities, not only as a trance clairvoyant, and I'm not so easily impressed when it comes to psychic ability, let me tell you, but also his abilities as a remote viewer, medical intuitive, and healer. I've witnessed his healing abilities up close and in person. It's real. He's for real. And it's no wonder he's known as Canada's Edgar Casey, Canada's sleeping prophet, if you will. In fact, he's just published a brand new book, hot off the presses, as they say, which was essentially dictated to his son while the author was in a deep trance meditative state. It's called The Complete New Age Health Guide. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is here live in studio. Douglas, it's good to see you again. How are
you? It's always a pleasure to be here, Richard. It really is nice to see you from time to time, and I just love being in the studio with you.
Likewise, my friend. I don't allow too many people in the studio, you know. It's you're one of them.
Oh, okay. I must have the secret passcode here. Roswell, isn't it? That's the secret passcode?
That's the one, my friend. Thank you. I'm going to read what I wrote, and you were kind enough to include this in the book.
Oh, I were very proud to do so, and you were very I'm very grateful for you to do this, Richard. Thank you very much.
I mean every word of it. And it's just right inside the front cover here. I wrote, about 70 years ago, Edgar Casey began gaining national prominence in the United States for his uncanny and otherworldly ability to solve perplexing medical questions, all while in a state of deep meditative trance. Today, that mantle has been passed to Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, who has demonstrated many of Casey's marvelous abilities using the exact same techniques. The Complete New Age Health Guide is the culmination of 30 years of his work in this field. It represents an awe-inspiring affirmation of Douglas's finely tuned abilities. Through this book, Douglas has taken his remarkable God-given gifts and created the most precious gift imaginable for all mankind. All right, so now when you say this book was 30 years in the making, what do you mean by that?
It started off 30 years ago where we were doing research on health situations, diseases, conditions in the body. Our friend Sheila Gaitis and her lady friend Shirley started off back in the mid-70s, So we got a bunch of readings done. We transcribed them, and then we just continued to let it slide. And I've never felt, like obligated or motivated to put a health book out. And so periodically there would be research. And this particular book has accumulated from the mid-70s until the current. The last 2 years, of course, have been very intense with putting this information together. And so across that 30-year period, there have been gems, if you will, revelations, information from the Akashic that have related to diseases that now people in certain scientific pursuits are actually discovering. But the book has, the information in the book has been given years in advance. It's like a prophecy. Many times I've made them on your show, and years later they'll come true. The Earth's crust spinning at a different speed than the Earth's core. And scientists now, it's out there in the accepted scientific worlds. But it was on your show years ago that I said that I had a vision or a dream about that. So this is like reaching back in time and bringing forth these gems, and also getting into, conditions of multiple sclerosis and the mind-body connection, and how you can stay young and how you can increase your libido and how to keep your body disease-free. There's lots of doctors here who have backed it up. Our friend Michael Bodner is saying it. Over the 30 years, I've been afforded the opportunity to examine patients in my offices and compare my findings with the tapes of the readings they have had with Douglas. The accuracy over 30-plus years has amazed me. An exceptional talent. And we go on to a doctor of osteopath who says, this book is a must-have for your personal library. And we have another medical, Chris Belfry, who is well-credentialed here. And he goes on and says, I've studied healing well over 15 years, and the contents within this book contain health secrets that will change your life and revolutionize how we view health and health care. And so these are the gems that are in this book. This is a must-have. And people can go to our website, manymansionspress.com, and order the book directly. Or they can also email info@manymansionspress.com, or they can go to my main website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and order the book there. This has been several hundred people ordered this book, shall I call it on spec, before the book was actually printed or produced. We're supposed to come out the end of July, but we got into some a burst of creativity, if you will, and so we added about a third more to the book. And so here we are, the end of August, a couple of weeks into September, and it's back, or it's finally done, and out it goes. So over the last 30 years, we've collected information. We've upgraded it. We've tackled some amazing functions. The books, on my radio show, Richard, I let everybody know that's how heavy the book is.
Right, right.
It's 8.5, 11, and it's a good almost 3/4 inch thick.
Yeah, over 300, almost 300 pages, yeah. Not quite 300 pages.
And very few pictures in it, too.
It's dense. Listen, we'll take a time out, we'll come back, and we'll continue to delve into the complete New Age Health Guide, based on the remarkable deep trance meditation readings of Douglas James Cottrell. He's live in studio for the hour, back with more of The Conspiracy Show. My name is Richard Serrett. Hey, don't forget, season 3 of The Conspiracy Show television program, well underway now, and tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, I should say tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern, that's Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern across Canada on Vision TV, and this week's episode I'm excited about. It's just having returned from New York City with the family and spent some time walking around in and around the neighborhood, 72nd Street in West Central Park, of course, the Dakota Building where John Lennon was gunned down, and we'll be exploring that whole theory that Lennon was targeted for political assassination and Mark David Chapman was not just some nutter with a gun. Perhaps he was a Manchurian candidate programmed to assassinate, or he was programmed to be there and sort of take the fall, if you will, to be the patsy. So that's the next installment of The Conspiracy Show television program, Vision TV, 10 p.m. Mondays, 10 p.m. Eastern. And the website, theconspiracyshow.com, is great because you can go on there, you can vote You can debate. You can discuss what you've just seen. All right, Douglas James Cottrell, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is with us. The new book, The Complete New Age Health Guide. Is it true that disease actually begins in the mind?
Absolutely.
Whoops, sorry. Let me hit you. There we go.
The answer is absolutely. This is Edgar Cayce said it, Ross Peterson said it, Paul Solomon said it, and I've said it in this clairvoyant state of accessing this information, that the mind is the builder, the mind is the way. And so attitude, emotions are the constructive and destructive forces that actually work in the body. So your attitude, what you think, what you expect, you know, people that are in pain cause pain. People who have a mind that's always needy or diseased get sick. People who suffer addictions, things in the mind are getting sick as well. However, the reverse of that is, you know, you get to that point where you say, I want to get better. I'm going to get better. And you become determined. Your attitude shifts. As soon as you say that, thoughts are real things. They create your future. You were saying about the 666. It's exactly right. It provokes thoughts. It provokes an attitude. It provokes a feeling and emotions. And if it's on the dark side, you get sick. If it's on the light side, you get better. You know, people that are in love never get sick.
Interesting point. Interesting.
Yeah. People that are in depression or their life is drudgery, you know, they get sick. If you get into a hopeless state of mind, you're going to get the hopeless disease, cancer. So if you're into resentments and frustrations, you're going to have colon problems or the body's not going to function right.
So as a medical intuitive, as a remote viewer, as a healer, are you able, when you sort of mentally scan someone's body, are you able to see disease before it manifests?
It's in the aura. When you can see clairvoyantly a person's aura, you can see it becoming gray or dark. And you can see perhaps areas in the body like red spots or black spots. I don't often do this, but it's possible to see disease coming on the body, over the area of the body that the problem is manifesting. So yes, you can see these things in disease like a shadow. And we, you know, if we look in the cliches and what we say about people, you know, boy, you know, something, they got a shadow on their face. Well, you're seeing the diminishing of their life force, and they actually do have a shadow.
Now, you talk a lot about, and I've been present when you've performed healings, miracle transformations, and I know you have a miracle transformation event coming up here in town, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. But you talk a lot about the need for adjustments of the spine and things like that. Now, I've never been to a chiropractor. I really don't have an opinion one way or the other about chiropractic.
Look at chiropractors, osteopath, massage therapist, perennial sacral workers. There are many types of manual or physical therapies that can go on in the body. And if you've ever had a massage, a therapeutic massage, it's like, oh my God, I didn't know I had so much tension in my shoulders. You know, when people walk around or in their daily lives, they hold tension in their body. And the more stress that's in their life, their job, whatever, the more stress is in their body. So just having a simple massage, releasing the muscles, increasing the circulation, bringing the oxygen back to the body, getting the impurities out of the muscles in the body, getting rid of inflammation. In my personal opinion, inflammation is a huge disease.
Sure.
It's
sure.
Overlooked by just about everybody, you know, until you get old enough that you can't move, you're in pain. But inflammation, I think, is one of the root causes or leading to the problems of Alzheimer's and mental illness and developing poison in the body.
And heart disease. There's now a school of thought regarding heart disease that cholesterol is not the big culprit.
It's nowhere.
It's inflammation.
This is right. Cholesterol is good for you. It occurs in the body naturally. Okay? It's not a bad thing. In the book, it discusses topics just like this about cholesterol. It talks about diet, the different kinds of diet, what foods are good for you and what are not. These are organic aspects in the body, but inflammation is the silent killer. I mean, it used to be referred to high blood pressure or hypertension. The book discusses ways and means on how to keep that under control. And again, inflammation and multiple sclerosis, the same. It talks about alternative therapies like, you know, if you have multiple sclerosis, there's therapies using bee venom, actually being stung by bees, and how that can cure the body again, sort of. You say, how the heck can this stung? Well, this is outside the box thinking, which is what this book is all about. It's designed to break down the prejudice and the bias that exists between some of the modalities, but also to get people thinking about these alternative and or complementary ways of healing. And looking at inflammation should be studied, I think, in depth, because it's the thing that makes everybody freeze up, the tendons and the joints and the muscles, the ribs get twisted, the spine, you know, we shrink as we get older, and the spine collapses. And this is why osteopathic adjustments, which are designed more towards the muscle structure, which is extremely complicated in the body, releasing the tension in muscles and tendons, and chiropractic, which release positions in the spine and try to realign the disc and hydrate the disc. If you can catch things early enough, you can cure disease. Now, my daughter Sherry Ann, when she was born, had the bones in her neck, the cervicals, twisted because it was a difficult birth. The physician, we suspect or surmised, actually injured her neck. She had convulsions, and she was treated medically with sedatives, phenobarbital and Vival, actually, chemicals to help get rid of her convulsions. Years later, when Ross Peterson did that reading when she was 6 and a half, he told us that the main problem she had for convulsions was in her neck. We brought her back here, and a friend of yours, Victor Vigiani, his brother Don Vigiani, was a chiropractor, and he adjusted Sherry for the first time in her life at 6 and a half and put the bones in her neck back in place.
I didn't know that. Have you told me that before? That connection between Victor Vigiani, of course, is a great friend of this program.
I maybe have let that slip by.
You did. You're holding out on me. Wow. Talk about serendipity.
Sorry about that. But Don Vigiani was, when Sherry was, she weighed 22 pounds when she went into the institution at 2 and a half, and she was emaciated and weighed 22 pounds when she came out. She was healthy, bouncy little baby going in, but they medicated her in patient care, you know, in these institutions is patient management, if you will. They do it with drugs. So Sherry was in huge trouble. She couldn't eat because of the problems in her neck. The nerve systems were affected by the bones being out. And as Ross indicated, some of the problems were in the center part of her brain, the thalamus and the hypothalamus, the controlling center for the body. So Don Vigiani adjusted her neck. And for the first time in her life, she could eat food, like a whole bowl of food at the same time. And, of course, she made up for lost time, and she never got heavy, but she was always slight those 4 years in the institution on heavy medications. But the convulsions almost ceased. What if, when she was two, or even a newborn, what if, when she was just born, that we could have got to a chiropractor and put those bones back in place? Sherry would have had a different life. Of course, I would have never got involved in the psychic business either, because it was alternative therapy and Ross Peterson's reading, deep trance reading. We're now calling it quantum meditation because it's more closer to that than whatever the nebulous deep trance meditation term is. But in any event, he was able to identify that in this deep state of sleep, or meditation rather, and accurately see what was going on. And the same method that I learned by watching him and doing this myself over the last 40 years is what I do now. And I have also done similar readings for people, and children especially, where we're able to look in the body and we're able to see that there's a vein burst in the brain, not the artery. And the little girl Sophie we've talked about on the show before rushed off and had an operation and survive, where the protocol was to let the child, sedate the child and let her die.
Right.
So the readings are able to see intently into the body, this super mind, this soul mind, if we will, this clairvoyant mind. And looking at this, when we went there with Donna, I can remember the day when we laid little Sherry down on his bench or adjustment table, and she's skin and bones, really. She looked like the worst starvation victim you've ever seen. And I said, where do you start? And
right.
He says, at the beginning, of course.
There you go. Now, this book, again, dictated to your son, Douglas Jr., while you're in
let me correct you a little bit, Richard.
Okay.
It was, the process is I lay down and go into a state of meditation, if you will, for people who knows hypnosis, it's like that. Your conscious mind is void. It's gone away somewhere. Not really. You're still there as your personality, but it changes and you get into the super subconscious mind. So you're working from the conscious through the subconscious and into the super subconscious or soul mind, which then goes out to the Akashic or other places and gathers this knowledge that's available to everybody. While I'm in that state, it's like I'm on hold. And Douglas would ask a question, or the researchers would ask a question, or a good friend and researcher Robert Appel would ask questions. And we had a research team with some medical knowledge, and they would ask questions, and the response from those questions is what is in the book. Now, most of it is cleaned up a little bit. It's not verbatim, but we have, when you buy the book, there is a part of it you can listen to some of the verbatim information. But that's how it was. It's not dictated so much, Richard. It's a matter of responses to questions. And they basically chose whatever topics they did. I trusted the research to ask the questions on the right topics. I didn't have any real input, although a couple of things I said, no, I'd really like to know about inflammation, or I'd really like to know about this or that.
Right. But the point is that though, it wasn't, this isn't a product of your conscious mind. This is a product of your soul mind or the Akashic record or what have you.
This is true. I am not a medical doctor. I've got a PhD in therapeutic counseling. I've never been medically trained, but, you know, 40 years have gone by, so I can keep up there with some of them. I can read x-rays, and when I go to Europe, people bring me their x-rays and show me when I do my consultations with them. But it's from a non-medical authority.
Right. So, but when you look back and you read
of that stuff, yeah.
Because you don't remember it. Isn't your knowledge.
This is right. I've disagreed with the information.
Really? Before. Can you give me an example of that?
Not off the top of my head. Let me think for a minute.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but that's fascinating. You disagree with some of the information that came out of your soul mind that ended up in this book.
I can give you an example that's not in the book, but it would be, I always thought that abortion was okay. It was a mother's choice. It was her business. I believed it was up to the woman, and it was okay if shit was okay with her. I didn't like the idea, but the readings came out with an opinion that was different than mine, and now I had to change my point of view. And it was like, okay, this makes sense. And so, because it's a sensitive subject, I don't want to say what it was, but it was like, wow, I never thought of it that way. The book is, it's a little controversial. Some people talk about hybrid food being bad for it. The readings say it's not so bad.
Hybrid food? Oh, well, like GMOs?
Yes. And talked about white vegetables. Don't eat any white vegetables. Well, I like mashed potatoes with a little gravy on it from time to time.
Right,
It says don't eat white vegetables. As a matter of fact, it's better to eat the skins of the potato than the potato itself.
That's information you got from the Akashic Records. Stay away from white vegetables. That's
exactly,
fascinating.
Exactly. As a rule of thumb now. You know, we're talking, this book was not for the specialist, it was to the layperson, the average person.
Right. All right. One of the underlying messages, though, in the book is that the body can heal itself. We have the power to heal ourselves. I want to get into that when we come back. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, The Complete New Age Health Guide. Health tips from the Akashic Record, if you will. 30 years in the making. It's out, fresh, hot off the press. We'll tell you about Douglas's miracle transformation coming up soon here in Toronto as well. Stay with us, The Conspiracy Show. Don't go away. And welcome back. Douglas James Cottrell is with us. Canada's Edgar Cayce, medical intuitive, transclairvoyant, remote viewer, and healer, and his new book, The Complete New Age Health Guide, based on the remarkable deep trance meditation readings of the aforementioned Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Now, the underlying message of this book is that the body can heal itself, that we have the power to heal ourselves. How does that work exactly?
This is true. You can help it with one of the newest supplements that's out there is called serapeptase. This cleans up the plaque in the arteries, and it actually takes the junk out of your arteries. Meditation can be used for pain control. Monolaurin is another product that's mentioned, and it attacks disease in the body without affecting the host. In other words, there's no side effects. These particular things have been recommended in readings, and people are responding to them. You know, it just improves the body. These are little things given, supplements that are taken. Slippery elm tea, for instance, to calm the stomach down and to stop insomnia, and also to calm people down so they, you know, get away from ulcers. There is so much that can be done, like, organically with that. But the big thing is mind medicine. And we talk about that. Schizophrenia is talked about. Other conditions that people seem they can't deal with. Well, they can. The mind is the master. The mind's the way. If I can, at 24 years of age, watch a man go into a deep state of meditation or sleep-like state, my daughter's in an institution 200 kilometers away near Belleville, and he's able to tell me everything about her. Not only what happened at birth, which would have been 6 years previous, but tell me what her condition is at that present time, and then tell me what remedies and what would be good for her diet, adjustments, specific adjustments in the body, the cervicals and the lumbars. And I'm watching this man do this, and I'm testing him. I work for the newspaper. I'm kind of a skeptical guy, and I'm watching this man do this. And Sherry's 200 kilometers away. You go like, how can this be? You know, how'd you do that? And so life, it's like, how'd you do that? And so when you start to investigate your own mind, you can see that there's lots of things that you can do just by changing your mind. If it rains outside, who's controlling you, the weather or your mind? The placebo effect, which is, I think, dealt with in the book as well. You know, somebody gives you a sugar pill and you feel better. Oh, that was just the power of suggestion. Well, give me a bucket full of that suggestion.
Right, exactly, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
So you can control the body, and when you amplify the thoughts with spiritual energy, this is the laying on of hands, if you will. Sometimes it's called chi energy. It could be kundalini energy. There's a variety of names for it. This is the life force inside. If we can redirect that in our body at will, using our mind through meditation and visualization, we can cure ourselves. Just by sitting down and meditating, you can make headaches go away. Also in the book, there's a headache pill. It's called a banana. But it has to be
a headache pill called a banana. A green banana. Okay.
A green banana. And so
is it the potassium? Is it the potassium in the banana?
The reading said it had to be green, it had to have the four sides on it, and it gave a specific kind, like a shape and a time for it. So when it's green, it must have something. I think it's more than potassium. But people who have, in the book, it's covered for people who have migraines. It talks about the gut and what's going on. Dr. Oz recently talked about leaky gut syndrome. Well, Richard, for years the readings have been talking about this, and slippery elm tea is one of the remedies for it, and watermelon on how to flush out the gut. Constipation is a huge disease in the body. It's not something that's inconvenient. This is serious stuff. You're not getting the junk out of the body. You're not getting the poisons out. Where is it going? If it's not going out, it's going in. You know, gout and arthritic conditions are all related, and these are the poisons being kept in the body. This book, The Complete New Age Health Guide, tells you how to get rid of those things through diet or supplements, but also it's the mind-body connection. You have more control over your mind. You know, you're in traffic and you're driving along and you're getting agitated because traffic's not moving fast enough. What's happening? Well, your intestines are getting in a knot. Your stomach is producing more acidic or fluid. Your blood pressure is going up. By the time you get home, you're a wreck. How can you stop that? Turn on the music. Maybe you have some a nice fragrance in the car. Maybe you have something. Maybe you don't. You don't turn on the phone. You don't start arguing with people. You don't start beeping on the horn. You go like, it's okay. I'm going to get there. And 20 minutes after you should have arrived, you arrive home. You're peaceful. You can digest your dinner nicely, and you're going to get a nice sleep, a night's rest. But just those little things in life, where you decide in your mind how you're going to react, you don't become triggered. This is key, absolutely key to good health. You don't let yourself get triggered.
I began the segment talking about, you know, the this double whammy of all this the sun's plasma hitting Earth's atmosphere. And of course, we had the Northern Lights, which are in full form right now. But the other thing is, I'm wondering whether that cosmic energy, we had the supermoons in August, in September, I believe, as well, whether that can affect us.
Absolutely. I've on my YouTube videos, I've talked about this plasma explosion from the sun.
Let me just hold on to it. We'll pick that up on the other side. Douglas Cottrell, the complete New Age health guide, right here in studio, back with more of The Conspiracy Show. Stay a while.
This is no place for the naive or the faint-hearted. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
It's the Chevrolet 5-Day Ultimate Upgrade event, which means for 5 days in September, it's your chance to get an ultimate upgrade at your GTA Chevrolet dealer. Drive in a 99 or newer in any maker model, and we'll give you an additional $750 discount. That's on top of 0% financing for 84 months on virtually all 2014 Chevrolets. If you're paying any interest, you're paying too much. So see your GTA Chevrolet dealer today for your ultimate upgrade. Only from September 16th to 20th. OAC, see dealer for details.
Look, chocolate, you're very seductive, but no, we're at different points in our lives. Of course we'll get together again from time to time, you know, when I want something sweet and comforting. And I'll always love you like a friend. But I need someone in my life who can help me make better choices.
Welcome to Weight Watchers. It's not a diet. It's everything you need to make healthy changes, lose weight, and enjoy a delicious new relationship with all the foods you love. Join Weight Watchers meetings for free today. Ends October 18th. Must pay applicable meetings fees. Go to weightwatchers.ca for details.
What can we say about the brand new One that viewers aren't already telling us?
Thank you for bringing TV that is down to earth and helpful to me. Jackie from Toronto.
Yoga, organic living, and health and beauty made simple. Programming to help you become the person you always wanted to be. Transform yourself with the brand new One. Catch a free channel preview on Rogers 265 and Bell 606. Check your local listings or onetv.ca.
Hi, I'm Richard Killen from Richard Killen & Associates. We're a trustee in bankruptcy with offices across the GTA. Nowadays, over half our customers do a consumer proposal. Surprising, isn't it? A consumer proposal provides results without having to go bankrupt, and that's certainly what people seem to want. So call Richard Killen & Associates today for a free consultation. 888-545-5365 or visit us online at killen.ca. It may be the most stress-relieving call you ever make.
Where there's smoke, there's The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
All right, I want to get back to how I opened the show. I was talking about the all this cosmic energy, whether it's solar flares or the supermoons, cosmic energy slamming into the Earth's atmosphere. And Douglas, I was wondering, because I think there may be some sort of a connection there. So many people I know talking about this, and I'm experiencing the same thing, suffering from anxiety and lethargy, and in some cases there's some depression out there with a lot of my friends. Is there a connection?
Absolutely. I have friends around the world that I communicate with. My friend Maria in Spain is reporting that most of the intuitive people she's in contact with, and these are people my age, are feeling anxious. They're feeling depressed, almost on the verge of depression. They can't sleep at night. When I'm on my radio show on Thursday nights, people are complaining the same thing. What's this feeling of being lethargic and what's going on? And I have in other times predicted about sunspot activity and how it was going to increase. And not too long ago, the sun changed its polarity. North went to south and south went to north. There are huge celestial things happening. And I think we're in a time and space that we've never, that our solar system hasn't been in. We're in a brand new area. And if you look around, what's happening in the world, the political situations that we're in, the circumstances of the world, you won't find any other time in history like this time. This is a complete different time. The amount of nitpicking, taxation on the poor, the attitudes of people one to another. There's a carelessness, a thoughtlessness. There's an evil out there. But there's also, on the other side, people trying to help and do good and rescue and try to save things, save the world. We have a classic, you know, the sons of one, the law of one, and the sons of Bigel fighting back and forth, or if you will, light and darkness. But we're in a place now where the sun is exploding. And if you look at some of those NASA pictures, you can see the magnetic field, if you will, around the world tipping over as if a candle is being blown out. And whatever part of the world is facing the sun when that hits us, those people are decimated. It's just you know, like the life goes out of you. Now we're bombarded by all kinds of EMF and other saturation microwaves. I mean, you look outside and you got a microwave tower beside your house.
Right, right.
Well, if it's right beside your house, you're okay because it's going over top of you. But across the street, they're getting blasted. So we're getting used to all these things and these computer radiations and cell phone radiations and all that. But when this stuff hits us from the sun, it's really bad. So look in. You can see the NASA photographs. You can see the stuff coming. And you can see the solar flares, the plasma eruptions are 1,000 times greater than they've ever been in the past.
How do you protect yourself against that kind of cosmic?
Stay inside. And if you can get into a place where there's a lot of copper mesh or metal, it stops it.
Make yourself a Faraday cage.
Yeah, you could have a little cage. And we know that, you know, that radio waves don't go through things like that. But if you're inside, you're shielded.
I mentioned to you also...
take lots of iodine, by the way.
Iodine, okay. Yeah. Getting back to this whole 666 thing and this waitress with the 666 necklace that came up to us. And I was driving into to another studio to do the Coast to Coast program, knowing that I was going to bring this up during the open lines. But I was so anxious and nervous about doing that show. And I've done Coast to Coast now, over a dozen times. And I've sort of gotten over that hump of being, you know, anxious about it. But that particular night, I was so anxious and nervous and feeling lethargic. And I called the mighty Aphrodite, and she thought, well, maybe, you know, because you know you're going to be talking about you-know-who, the Antichrist, 666, maybe you've opened yourself up to something. And she started reciting the Jesus prayer and all that. I know you we're like-minded and we believe in the unseen world. Talk to me a little bit about what might have been going on there.
Well, there is, it's real. There's the astral world. There's a place where these misguided souls go. And the thing to remember is they're not powerful. You know, in the beginning there was the Word. In the beginning there was God. There never was in the beginning there was God. And oh, by the way, there's another devil God. Just in the beginning there was God. So these mischievous entities that are out there, and there are mischievous, misguided entities, they are blind. We think that they're like us, but they're not. Close your eyes, and what do you see? Black. This is the dimension that these disembodied souls live. Now, we all will become disembodied souls sooner or later when we die. Most of us will rise up to the higher dimensions, into the heavens. Some of us who are not too smart when we were here, you don't get smarter or better or more loving when you die, they'll be locked into the lower worlds or realms, the astral plane and the earthbound planes. They are blind. So if you are afraid of them, or if you give in to them and become, thinking about them, it's like sending up a flare. They see the light and they come at you. And if you're an alcoholic...
Like moths to a flame.
Like moths to a flame, or serpents, they come after you. And they are like serpents. They look like serpents. They're cloudy, but they are nothing. They are weak. They are misguided. They are afraid. But they are coming to you because they can feel or sense your emotion. So the best thing to do, as I said, emotions are the constructive and destructive forces. The best is to be loving and happy, and they run away. They're afraid of light, the positive light, the loving light. But when you're afraid, when you're anxious, they just come at you. And when, you know, you're on the air and there are a lot of people listening to you, all those people are thinking about you. And in the early days, when you get into radio or you get into public eye, you know, you can actually go home. You're whacked because so many people are talking about you. And, all these minds, these telepathic minds going back and forth. But as you grow into that and you become more famous and you become, in that realm, if you will, then you can go in front of 10,000 people. It doesn't bother you. But if, the day one when you went out there, all those people are looking at you on stage or thinking about you, it's like they're taking energy away. So it's the same on the other side. But don't fear, don't be afraid of them. I've done expulsions, and when we do our Miracle Transformation event on October the 4th here at the Holiday Inn in Toronto, by the way, it's going to be about 1:30 in the afternoon till 5, we're going to do spiritual healing. We're going to do laying on of hands. We're going to create that energy, and it's going to go through the body, and you can do self-healing, you know, like Reiki, spiritual healing, laying of hands, energy work. It's all the same. And that's the thing, is to get down to the simple things. So don't be afraid of the darkness. Don't give in to when somebody says, oh, my God, the devil's out there. Because in my life, in 40 years, and I've been, you know, there where everybody's asked those questions, I've come to the conclusion by experience that these misguided souls are just that. They're misguided. They don't know what to, where they're going or what to do. So just keep away from them. Don't think about them. Don't try to send them light. Don't try to send them love. Don't try to do anything. Just stay away from them. If you do have an encounter with them, say the simple prayer, God Almighty, please protect me from any and all negative influences, regardless of source. Amen. And that's it. They are gone.
We should just mention that Miracle Transformation event again. That's October the 4th at the Wellesley Room in the Holiday Inn on Carlton. And that's right at the Yonge subway station.
That's exactly right.
All right,
and we're going to be there at 1:30, and we're going to do a Miracle Transformation event, and I'll have copies of my book there. And we're going to talk about some of this stuff, the psychic intuitive material. We're going to be there for a full day. It's going to be exciting.
I know a lot of this is in the book as well. You talk about not only the, you know, the body's power to heal itself and so forth, but there's a lot in here about complementary natural medicines, organic oils, herbs, teas, tinctures, other products. And you've got something called the Avatar Life Force.
Yeah, we've hooked up with Michael in Texas, who is avatarlifeforce.com. It's almost up and running. He's put it together. He's working very hard on it. So if you want more information, you can go info@avatarlifeforce.com. And Michael will be there to direct you. You can go and have a look at it. It's up there in a catalog form right now. And I encourage you to do so. It's based on many of the remedies that are here. One of the things, if you have arthritis, you can take iodine. And that seems to help arthritis. This book has little tips about things that can help serious diseases. And Michael is putting together things like serrapeptase and monolarin and some of the other, you know, essential oils. And he's really working very hard to make this a success. And it's based on the complete New Age Health Guide remedies.
You and I are again on the same page. I think that food is medicine.
Absolutely.
And
there's
something that is a very popular diet out now. It's called the Paleo Diet. Talk to me a little bit about that, because that came through to you as well in your soul mind.
Yeah, well, let me just put it this way. You know, everybody has different body shapes or body types. And so to take a diet, it's better to eat something of everything than try to scale it down. So if I can put it that way, Mediterranean diet's a good diet. Various foods are medicine. So depending on what you're lacking, and you can have your body with your hair or your fingernails, you can find out what minerals you're lacking and what foods you're lacking or vitamins you're lacking. Then you can go for that. So, I mean, I'm just trying to be general here.
Right.
But I don't want people to think that you have to go on a special diet. Some people say you have to go on a special diet to be more spiritual. You can't drink alcohol. You have to abstain from intercourse and things like that. Well, a little of everything is better. You know, limits on desires.
And what about, what did the soul mind say about raw food? That's kind of a
raw food
a
is really
now.
That's how we, that's where we came from. You know, raw food is we used to go and grab something off a tree. We would pull something out of the ground. So raw food is good. And what it would say is the freshest variety that's grown in the vicinity in which the body resides.
Right, the 100-mile diet, as they call it now.
Exactly. You know, when I was in Campbellford yesterday, I was visiting my parents' grave. And I wanted to find a place to get flowers. I hadn't been to Campbellford in years since my grandparents died, or my father actually was the last we were there. And so I just let my fingers do the walking, more like my mind do the walking. And I ended up at a place called Earth Angel. And the lady there, Jody, did a fantastic stone topper for my mother, for the gravestone for my mother and my father, and we also had a little bouquet down there. But it was just, if you let your mind go around, you will end up in the right place. Like I did when I needed these flowers, going to a strange town with no, I didn't even know where the flower shops were going to be. I know I did get on my phone, and guess what came up? Earth Angel.
There you go.
So that was a very good place. Anyway, Michael is putting Avatar Life Force together, and my son Doug has ManyMansionsPress.com, and you can email info at ManyMansionsPress.com, and you can get a lot more information about this book. This is an amazing book. I mean, I know I wrote it. Sort of.
Your soul mind wrote it.
Sort of.
You were there.
Yeah. It's when I say to all my books, like the New Renaissance book or the Secrets of Life book, that, you know, is one of these are the only books that ever written by somebody that's asleep.
But you don't want to read it that way. That's for sure. Well, listen, again, congratulations on the complete New Age Health Guide. And October the 4th, the Miracle Transformation event at the Wellesley Room in the downtown Holiday Inn, Carlton Street, right at Yonge Street, 1:30 p.m. In the meantime, they can go to douglasjamescottrell.com
and learn more about information. You. We're going to do spiritual healing, laying on of hands for people where actual miracles occur. I don't promise anything because the spiritual healing is between you and God Almighty. But it's a Christian-based service, which I am. I'm a minister. But if you want to come and you want to try out this spiritual energy, like we used to come to Toronto on a regular basis, and I go to Europe, you know, and faraway countries like Poland and Norway and Spain, of course, and Argentina. If you want to come and see me there, I'll be pleased to there. It's something to come and have a look. There's not there's no fee at the door or anything like that. It's going to be by donation. So come down and see us there, and we'd be pleased to show you the book, of course, which is how we make our livelihood. But also maybe we can help you get that spiritual energy, that shot of energy that's going to change your life.
All right. Thanks for hanging out with me once again, Douglas. Always a pleasure to have you here with us. And again, congratulations, the complete New Age Health Guide based on the remarkable deep trance meditation readings of Douglas James Cottrell. Thank you, my friend. The website, richardserrett.com, your portal to this very radio program. And say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. And as always, follow the truth. Hey there. Thanks for inviting me into your home. I've been receiving a few emails over the last couple of weeks about the spinning globe that's part of the Conspiracy Show logo on my website, richardserrett.com. You've probably seen it. It's the logo for the Conspiracy Show, not the TV show logo, which is kind of a new and updated version. But if you go to richardserrett.com, there's that spinning globe that's being held by hand, right? That's our logo. And a number of you have pointed out, quite correctly, that the Earth, the globe, is spinning in the wrong direction as seen from space. And I've been meaning to talk about this on air, but I keep forgetting. And then I received another email tonight, which has served to jog my memory. Yes, you are correct. The Earth rotates from the west towards the east. So as viewed from the North Star or the Pole Star Polaris, the Earth actually turns counterclockwise. But the globe, again, which is part of the Conspiracy Show logo on richardserrett.com. Again, not the new logo on the TV show website, conspiracyshow.com. But the globe clearly is spinning clockwise from east to west. And some of you have been wondering, was that a mistake? No, it's not. It's intentional. And good for you for spotting it, though. The idea is that on this program, we talk about there being something wrong with the world. Remember Morpheus from The Matrix. He said it all. You're here because you know something. And what you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You've felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It's this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about? I suspect many of you do. Rosemary Ellen Guiley will be here at the bottom of the hour. She joins us once a month with something we call the Paranormal News Roundup. Some great stories. You've heard no doubt about this amateur sleuth in Great Britain who supposedly has cracked the Jack the Ripper case 126 years later. Supposedly he's used DNA to identify the notorious Ripper. And this is incredible. Did you hear about this guy in Australia? He woke up from a coma and he started speaking fluent Mandarin. We'll talk about that too. Rosemary Ellen Guiley at the bottom of the hour. Once again, don't miss this week's Conspiracy Show on Vision TV. In fact, it airs tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern across Canada. This is the episode regarding John Lennon and whether or not he was targeted for assassination. A couple of weeks ago, we aired our episode on the Obama birth certificate flap. And after the episode aired in Canada, I started getting calls from the media down in the United States. They had heard about this episode, and they wanted me to talk about it because there aren't a lot of TV shows in the U.S., at least on the mainstream media down there, that have been dedicating 22 and a half minutes of network airtime to examine the case. And this past Wednesday, I think it was, I was invited on to the Peter Boyle's morning show, which is on KNUS AM 710 out of Denver, Colorado. And Peter and I spent about an hour talking about it. And I got a lot of email and a lot of tweets, some positive, some negative, asking me why I'm still talking about the birth certificate. Well, it hasn't gone away, far from it. You may not have heard about it in the mainstream media, but it's not. It hasn't disappeared. In fact, Sheriff Joe Arpaio from Maricopa County down in Arizona has this cold case squad, or a posse, if you will. And a posse isn't just something from TV, from the old Westerns. In Arizona, it's actually a constitutional thing. I mean, you know, they form these legal entities called posses to help law enforcement investigate cases. So they have this cold case posse, and they've been investigating the Obama birth certificate, conducting a forensic investigation into it. And their chief investigator, Lieutenant Mike Zullo, who's a former law enforcement official from New Jersey, and his team, they've concluded the long-form birth certificate is, in fact, a forgery. Not only that, but they say they're getting close to revealing who was responsible for creating the forged document. And there is a gentleman by the name of Reed Hayes, who's a certified handwriting analyst and forensic document examiner, and he worked, or has worked, repeatedly for Perkins Coie. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Perkins Coie. They're a law firm. And in fact, Perkins Coie defended President Obama in his legal jousts on the birth certificate matter over the last 5 years. So this forensic document investigator working for the law firm that has been defending President Obama on this birth certificate flap, and Reed Hayes has apparently provided the cold case posse with an affidavit in which he states that this birth certificate is 1,000% a forgery, and not a very good one at that. So again, this issue is still very much alive. And I've got a gentleman on the line right now who is called to speak on behalf of Lieutenant Mike Zullo from time to time, and he's here to bring us up to speed on the latest with regards to the Obama birth certificate. He's no stranger to this program. Carl Gallops is the longtime senior pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church. He's the author of the bestseller, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah. And additionally, he's a conference leader, evangelist, Christian media icon, former law enforcement official. He's one of the founders of video teaching material to the world-famous P.P. Simmons YouTube Ministry and Biblical Apologetics Channel. He's a graduate of Florida State University and the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and as I say, often asked to speak on behalf of Mike Zullo, the lead investigator of Sheriff Joe Arpaio's cold case posse. Carl Gallops, how are you?
I'm doing great, Richard. God bless you, man. Thank you for having me on the show tonight. It is good to be back with you.
Not at all. Now, respond just in a general way, and then we'll drill down a little deeper to those who say, listen, Sheriff Joe Arpaio and his cold case posse, they don't have anything. If they did, they would have taken it to a county prosecutor or a state prosecutor by now, and they haven't. And here we are like 3 years later, and they still haven't presented this evidence. If they've got it, why don't they present it?
Yeah. Well, just very generally, as you asked me to, I will respond, and then we can get more specific later. First of all, listen, I understand those who have that concern. I understand the angst that is out there among the public, particularly in America. But people who say that, what you just said, and by the way, that was a great assessment, that was a great conglomeration of what they're saying. They're just wrong. That statement is an out-of-context statement because there is a context to this. As you said, this has been going on for 3 years. Let me give a quick update on the context. When it all started, Joe Arpaio was immersed himself in this study of this long-form birth certificate that was released based upon citizens that petitioned him, a 250-signature petition from citizens in his county. They felt that they might have been defrauded in the last presidential or the first presidential election if, in fact, this birth certificate that he put up and said this was his identifying document, if, in fact, it was a fake and a forgery. Well, Arpaio kept going to these Tea Party meetings and, re-election campaign meetings, and he kept being asked, but what do you know about the birth certificate? And he didn't know much about it. I mean, he's sheriff of Maricopa County. Why would he care about a birth certificate of the president? But finally, he was given this petition, hundreds of signatures on it. So he said, okay, look, I'll investigate it, you know. So he put together his cold case posse, which is a constitutional investigative committee with attorneys and law enforcement. Lieutenant Mike Zullo was placed as the chief, the head of it. And Arpaio is on record, and Zullo is on record stating that, look, please, I want to be the sheriff that exonerates the president on this birth certificate thing. He said, I'm tired of going to Tea Party meetings and not being able to talk about what I want to talk about. It always turns to this birth certificate. He says, show me that this birth certificate is legitimate, and we can be done with it once and for all. Mike Zullo has testified publicly many times on my radio program and on many other radio and television programs that when he first got involved, he also thought, you know, how could the president of the United States submit a forged birth certificate and put it on the White House website? Surely this will be easy to prove that it is an absolute legitimate birth certificate. So that's how this investigation started. Well, just a couple of days into it, they discovered through some forensic examination, just basic forensic examination with digital document experts, that the thing was a fraud. It was a fabrication. It was a forgery. So they went back to the sheriff, said, Sheriff, sit down. We've got some bad news. And the sheriff said, what are you talking about? And Zullo said, this thing is a fraud. It's a forgery. And the sheriff said, oh, my gosh. So anyway, bottom line is they then immersed themselves in months and months of really nailing it down and proving it. They had two back-to-back news conferences at which the mainstream media, they showed up. But instead of asking legitimate questions, Richard, you know, they're on film. Anybody can go watch these media conferences on P.P. Simmons and birthreport.com and other places. Breitbart had them. The media mocked him. They said, what authority do you have to investigate this? I mean, here is the sheriff presenting all of this forensic evidence proving that the birth certificate is a forgery and a fraud, and instead of the mainstream media saying, oh, my gosh, we've been duped, they said, what authority do you have? Well, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It was obvious that the media was somehow in the tank for him. So the bottom line I'm trying to tell you, Richard, and your audience is that from that point forward, the cold case posse never gave up. The sheriff's office didn't give up. They immersed themselves in discovering further evidence. That's why there's this three-year period. And here's what happened. Here's where it turned a corner. Last year, around September or October, Mike Zullo, through various media outlets, including my radio show and the P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, announced, and Arpaio confirmed it. In fact, Arpaio was on my show one time, and they confirmed that in March of 2014, they planned on coming forward with more information that they had found that was just mind-boggling information, they both said, things they had run across and things they had discovered that were just unbelievable. And in March of 2014, they were planning on releasing this. But as January rolled around, December, January, February, several huge breaks occurred. And amazing, universe-shattering information is what Mike Zullo called it, came forward.
All right, let's just take a time out here. Let me jump in, Carl. We'll take a time out, and we'll, on that cliffhanger note, when we reconnoiter on the other side of this break, Carl Gallops will tell us a little bit more about what that earth-shattering information might be. as we discuss, yes, we're discussing it once again, it's not going away, the President Barack Obama birth certificate flap. Back with the latest here on The Conspiracy Show. My name is Richard Serrett. Hey, before I get back to my conversation with Carl Gallops about the Barack Obama birth certificate flap, this following on the heels of our recent airing of the episode on The Conspiracy Show, I just wanted to mention once again the Follow the Truth Tour, or the Follow the Truth Summit. If you go to followthetruth.tv, my all-day conference happening in November, and you go on that website, followthetruth.tv, there's a question there for you. Scroll down, find the question that's related to the subject matter we'll be discussing at the all-day conference. And if you call Tim Spreen, my producer in studio, be the one of the first two callers with the answer to that question, 416-360-0740, or toll-free 1-866-740-4740. With the correct answer, you'll get a pair of passes to Follow the Truth, The Conspiracy Show Summit, again, Sunday, November the 16th at the Regent Theater in Oshawa. All right, back to Carl Gallops. Now, Sheriff Joe Arpaio and his lead investigator, Lieutenant Mike Zullo, were to basically drop this bombshell in March of 2014, which, of course, it didn't happen. So I guess the question is, why didn't it happen, and what's happened in the interim?
Yes, yes. Well, as I was saying earlier, and by the way, Richard, thank you so much for having me on your show and giving me this opportunity. So in 2014, in the beginning of 2014, as I was saying right before we went to break, a whole new batch of evidence and information was brought forward and or discovered. I mean, both of those things happened. Documented, hardcore, hard copy documented, that morphed this case of trying to determine the legitimacy of this birth certificate into something much, much bigger. And in fact, the information that came was turned over to Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and from that, he has opened up an entirely new branch of criminal investigation that goes and connects all the way to the White House of what they believe to be criminal activity in Maricopa County that goes directly to the jurisdiction of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. So that is huge, and Sheriff Joe Arpaio has been on media and has been public saying that he has another branch of criminal investigation going that is huge, and it came from information that was gleaned as this birth certificate investigation took this huge turn, a right turn, a good turn, and that just delved them into the depths of the darkness of this case. And in the meantime, so Zullo continues to, who works directly under Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and he's assigned specifically to the birth certificate investigation. That investigation has gone very deep, and as Zullo has said, it has become very dark. That is, it's earth-shattering information they have uncovered. He says it is history-making. It's something that this nation has never dealt with before. And so in the meantime, they had to vet that information, and they had to run their forensics, and they had to do all of their proper investigation. Because, see, the thing is, Richard, they're only going to get one chance at this. I mean, if they bring it forward prematurely, and particularly on top of what they now know, and how huge this is. If they just bring it forward roughshod and halfway done, it could blow up in their face. They could be made laughing stocks, and
sure,
it's all over with.
Sure. Well, here's the way I look at it. Here's the way I look at it, Carl.
Yeah.
Either Sheriff Joe Arpaio and his team, the Cold Case Posse, have a case.
Yep.
They've got the evidence, and
yep,
that's real. In which
yep
case, then it demands media attention. Or
right,
if it's a fabrication, then we have a major law enforcement official and his team of investigators that are perpetrating a hoax, and that demands media attention, but
yeah,
we're not getting either.
Yes. No, you're exactly right, Richard. Very, very astute. You have nailed it. And, in the world that listens to my media presentations, they know. that my integrity is all important to me. But prior to being in the ministry, I was in Florida law enforcement for 10 years, so I have a lot of law enforcement experience. I've been to Washington, D.C. with Mike Zullo. Mike Zullo and I talk almost every single day, literally. I talked to him twice today. I talked to him yesterday for over an hour. For years, we've been talking every day. We've been in and out of the Capitol together. We've been in and out of congressional offices together. I know what's going on. Mike Zullo and I communicate. We're good friends. And I'm telling your audience, they have information. This is not a hoax. And you're right. It would have to be one of those two. So what I'm saying to your audience is, be patient. Let this investigation run its course. They were announcing to the world that they were going to bring the information in March of 2014, but they couldn't because of what else they uncovered, and they had to get to the bottom of it. They're almost to the bottom of it now. Arpaio was on Fox News several months ago saying that they were almost to the bottom, that they actually now were on the trail. They knew who actually perpetrated the hoax and hinted that it was huge. The information was going to blow America away when they were told of who was involved in all of this. And in the meantime, Mike Zullo has been to Washington, D.C. five times in the last couple of months, uncovering more information, meeting with very high government officials who are now involved in this. And this is something Mike Zullo has just revealed in the last few weeks in various media outlets, and Arpaio and Zullo both have said that this information is going to come forward,
right,
and it's going to come within months.
Now, sorry, Carl, when I did the TV episode on this, and I interviewed Phil Berg, who some consider the sort of the father of the birther movement, the former deputy,
Philip Berg,
attorney general from Pennsylvania, a registered Democrat, and a lifelong member of the NAACP. For those who think that this is racially or politically motivated, I also interviewed Carl Denninger. Yes, Carl Denninger is also considered the father of the Tea Party, but this was the Tea Party that was not about, you know, guns, God,
right,
and gays. This was the Tea Party in its early genesis that was strictly about, you know, responsible spending and the like.
Right.
And of course, Denninger, you know, is very familiar with he runs a number of online tech companies and so forth. And at that stage, when this episode was put together, we were still talking about things like on the document. There were nine layers that appeared to be visible there, that you can't take a paper document, run it through a Xerox copy, and have it look like that.
Right.
That it appeared there were something like on the order of nine separate layers, which would tend to suggest this thing was pieced together in a computer.
Yes.
Now, it has been suggested by some. In fact, there was someone who worked with Adobe who said, no, that's not necessarily true. You can, in fact, create something that looks like this with the layering effect from an original paper document run through a Xerox machine.
Yeah.
The other thing that we focused on in that episode, and Denninger pointed out, was what appeared to be the presence of kerning in the typeface on the document, which suggests – you can explain a little bit more about kerning, but it would suggest that it was not typed out by a manual typewriter back in 1961, but something that could only have been produced by a word processor. I've been told that that's not true. There were manual typewriters from the 50s and the 60s that were capable of kerning. So let's start first with the layering.
Okay.
And then I'll get you to refer to the kerning.
Well, okay, and I'll be glad to address that, but I can tell you at this point, the investigation has moved so far beyond those matters that stuff almost doesn't even matter anymore. But since you've asked, I will tell you that, yes, the layering and all of the anomalies, I forgot how many there were now, but every one of them have been tediously gone through with deep forensics for several years. Some of the anomalies they've discovered did not have near the sensational impact that they thought, but many of them did and do, and they have proven forensically. Mike Zullo has said 1,000% that this is a forgery, a fabrication. The kerning, true kerning, where letters purposely nudge up and overlap each other. In other words, you could have an N and then right behind it a J, where the bottom of the J purposely nudges up and comes underneath the N. That can only be done with electronic means and computer generated typing. Now, the old manual typewriters could not do true kerning, but the old manual typewriters from time to time could produce letters that squunched up on each other and that even overlapped a little bit in each other's spaces. That's correct. But true kerning could not be done until the invention of the electronic means of producing these letters. But again, let me just say, this investigation is so far beyond that. The words universe-shattering and earth-shattering information of how all of this came together, who put it together, what's going on, who was involved, what was involved, is mind-blowing. And once these conferences are held, the public will then know and understand that. Now, you mentioned at the very beginning of the show, Reed Hayes, who did a lot of work for Perkins Coie out of Hawaii. Reed Hayes is a card-carrying Democrat, card-carrying liberal, card-carrying Obama supporter. And here's how he got involved. He is a digital document expert, one of the premier digital document experts in the United States. He's written several of the premier handbooks on digital document investigation. He is certified to testify before federal courts in our land and has done so. And he worked for the agency, the law firm, that actually defended Obama's birth certificate in the first 3, 4, 5 years of his presidency, as you said. But here's what happened. Once Mike Zullo, and this has been a couple of years ago, started uncovering all of this information, and this is before the universe-shattering information, he issued a challenge. He said, look, Mike Zullo said, I just want to get to the bottom of this. I'm an investigator. This is not political. If somebody can step forward and prove to us forensically and sign affidavits and show us your forensics that this birth certificate is legitimate, I will drop the case and I will publicly announce it. Reed Hayes called him and took him up on his challenge. So Reed Hayes signed all the proper paperwork. All of Zullo's information was turned over to Reed Hayes. The deal was that Reed Hayes had to publish in an affidavit form his findings, good, bad, ugly, whatever. Reed Hayes investigated it, sent a 40-page affidavit to Mike Zullo, which he now has in his possession. It's part of the evidentiary trail. Reed Hayes signed a 40-page affidavit testifying that the document was a 100% forged fabrication, it was a fake. So, I mean, that's not even the earth-shattering information. That's just a little piece. That's just a little part of the evidence they've been collecting. So the naysayers really, really are off base on some of these things that they're claiming. This Xerox machine debacle that you mentioned, about a Xerox machine being able to produce that. I'm not at liberty to say what they did, but the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office investigative team, they investigated that to the hilt. I mean, spent tons of money, ran all manner of tests using the very Xerox machine that was mentioned, and absolutely, you cannot produce the anomalies that are on that birth certificate by making a pass, making a copy of a birth certificate. It cannot be done. And so that is false information. The other thing I really is important for your audience to know, Richard, this investigation with Arpaio and Zullo is not a birther investigation. It truly is not about where Obama was born. That really hasn't even come up in this investigation. It is about, first of all, Arpaio's criminal investigation with criminal activity the White House has allegedly been involved in Maricopa County. And secondly, is this document the only identifying document that Obama has ever brought forward to the public? Is it a forgery? Is it a fake? Is it a fabrication? Now, you know, if we discover where he was born after that, then that's okay. But this is not a birther thing. This is about a criminal offense committed upon the American public. And I want to remind your audience, the first birthers was not Philip Berg. The first birthers was Obama himself, followed by Hillary Clinton. Let me explain. From 1991 to 2007, Acton Dystal Publishers published in their publishing pamphlet about a new young author they had named Barack Obama, and in all of their literature, for all of those years, 16, 17 years, until he ran for president, all of their literature said Barack Obama, raised in Hawaii, born in Kenya. So Barack Obama had to have approved that biography. I'm a best-selling author. I have several best-selling books. My biographies in my books, my publishers edit them, but I have to approve them. So for 16, 17 years, Barack Obama told the world in print through his official publishers that he was born in Kenya.
His editor has said that that was a fact-checking error.
Yes, absolutely, and I understand. But here's the deal. Again, I'm a best-selling author. I know what my biography says. I can't imagine that for 17 years my biography, and I was born in Florida, by the way, if my biography said I was born in Australia. For 17 years, I wouldn't catch that.
Right, right. Here's the other thing.
That's unfathomable.
Here's the other thing, Carl, though. There was, and I sent you a copy of this, but you'd already seen it, of course.
Yes.
There was a 1990 New York Times article. We're almost out of time here. When Barack Obama was named as the first African-American to be named to the Harvard Law Review as editor, there was an interview and a write-up in the New York Times, and it mentioned in 1990 that he was born in Hawaii.
Yes. Oh, I'm very familiar with that. And so my point is that either Barack Obama was born in Kenya, because that's what he and his publisher said for 17 years, or he is a deceiver, a liar, an opportunist who let that fly for 16, 17 years because he thought it made him look good to a certain audience. Either way, it doesn't bode well for him. But the point I'm making is that's not conclusive proof that he was born in Kenya just because his publishers had that. But the point I'm making is people that call folks like me and Zulu birthers, we're not birthers. We're not out here proclaiming where he was born or where he wasn't. Obama, it was the first birther. Now, the second big birther was Hillary Clinton. And by the way, this is backed up with, Hardball, Chris Matthews. Hardball.
Carl, listen, I'm sorry to jump in and cut you short. I'm running out of time here. You will have to pick this up in another time. Listen, this is not dead. I'm not gonna stop covering it, despite what the nasty emails say. And I appreciate your time. We'll continue.
I'm sorry we ran out of time, but thank you for having me.
No worries. Carl Gallups, senior pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, best-selling author of The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, and spokesperson for Mike Zulo, lead investigator of the Cold Case Posse. Back with more with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, our Paranormal News Roundup, right here. Rosemary Ellen Guiley is one of the leading experts on the paranormal, with more than 50 books published by major houses on a wide range of paranormal, spiritual, and mystical topics, including 9 single-volume encyclopedias. Her work is translated into 15 languages. She's worked full-time in the paranormal since 1983, researching, investigating, writing, and presenting and teaching. Her present work focuses on interdimensional entity contact experiences of all kinds. She has done groundbreaking research on shadow people and the djinn. Hey, Rosemary, how are you?
I'm doing well, Richard. It's been a very busy summer, and I'm getting ready for a busy fall.
Yeah, you got the Mothman Festival coming up very shortly down in Virginia.
Mothman next week, and I've been there every year since 2004.
And didn't you meet your husband down at the Mothman Festival?
We did. We met, actually, in 2004, which was the very first year for both of us to attend the festival. So it has a special significance now. Since we got married a little over a year ago, going back to Mothman is kind of like, it's got a romantic edge to it, too, now.
Absolutely. Listen, a huge story. We talked a couple of months ago about researchers in England who had managed to narrow down the actual neighborhood, maybe even the actual street, where they suspect the infamous Jack the Ripper lived, although the houses, that street has been totally demolished. But now the Daily Mail, this is a real bombshell, has announced that Jack the Ripper has been unmasked, and an amateur sleuth, apparently, has used DNA to break through and identify Britain's most notorious criminal 126 years after a string of terrible murders. Tell me about this amateur sleuth and how he solved it.
Well, he says that he purchased a shawl belonging to one of the victims and that he was able to do DNA evidence. He was able to obtain DNA samples that he identified as belonging to the victim. This was, I believe it was the fourth victim, Catherine Edows. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. And then he also found semen stains, he said, and got DNA off that and positively identified it to one of the suspects from back then who was a Polish immigrant. His name was Aaron Kosminski, and he was considered a suspect at the time. He was a rather violent individual and wound up being incarcerated in lunatic asylums where he actually died. But even as good as this story sounds, the ripperologists out there are saying, not so fast. We don't know this for sure, and for several good reasons. One is this fellow did not allow any secondary tests. No one else replicated his results. And another very good reason, the actual authenticity of the shawl has been in doubt. It's never been conclusively proved to be her shawl. It's allegedly her shawl that was passed on down until it was purchased by this fellow, Russell Edwards. And there were forensic tests done, according to other news reports, about a year ago that failed to prove conclusively that this was actually her shawl. So there are still lots of questions here. But someone did bring up the point that now that we have this very sophisticated methodology for DNA samples, and I'm a big fan of crime shows and forensic file shows and things like that, and it's amazing what they can do, that if Aaron Kosminski was Jack the Ripper, then he would have left DNA evidence on other items of clothing, too, related to victims. So if there are other pieces that have been preserved from some of the other murder victims, that would be one way of proving this conclusively. But unfortunately, I'd say we're a long way off from proof yet, and probably a lot of ripperologists would rather have it that way.
So many questions. We'll take a time out, and we've got so many other stories to discuss. But before we leave this one, first, my first impression is, why didn't anyone think about this before? Why has it taken, you know, I understand the DNA, you know, testing for DNA has only really come to the fore in the last maybe 30 years, but it's taken till now for someone to actually to come up with this idea. And then the other thing is, as you say, you know, this is not a done deal. One would suspect, you know, they were able to shoot down the DNA evidence in the O.J. Simpson trial. 126 years later, I mean, how reliable is the DNA sample? I mean, it must have been handled countless times, and I would imagine it would be very corrupted.
Well, that's what some of the experts are saying, is that this piece of clothing has been so contaminated for more than a century, it would be difficult to prove much of anything.
Absolutely.
And you would think that the experts would be applying DNA technology to this if they could. Why did it take a man who calls himself an amateur armchair detective, why did it take someone like him to come up with this supposedly explosive news?
All right, ripperologists have a heart. Ripperologists take heart. this is not a case closed.
For a while.
No, exactly. All right, Rosemary, back with more here on the Conspiracy Show as we do our paranormal news roundup. We are back with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. We're talking about a number of items in the news of a paranormal nature, as we do every time at this month, with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, our preeminent, world-renowned paranormal investigator, her website, visionaryliving.com. And I have to ask you about this Australian gentleman who awoke from a coma, a deep, deep coma. And when he awoke, he was speaking, get this, fluent Mandarin. Rosemary, I've heard of these types of stories before, but this, it never ceases to amaze me. Tell me about this gentleman.
This is a curious case. Now, it did come out in the news reports that this young man had studied Mandarin in high school, but he had never been very good at it. And so here he comes out of this coma, and suddenly he starts speaking fluent Mandarin, and it even took him a while to recover his English-speaking skills. So what was going on there? Well, we know from brain trauma injuries that and from people coming out of comas that unknown abilities can come to the fore. And in fact, people who suffer severe head trauma sometimes wake up very psychic. That part of the brain just suddenly bursts into action. The curious thing here for me in this case is that he wasn't very good in Mandarin. So how does he go from not very good in Mandarin in school to suddenly being, you know, like he spoke it all of his life? And I'm wondering if there was some sort of past life connection there, that maybe he had, and that was his attraction for learning Mandarin. If he had been Chinese and spoken Mandarin in a past life, what if those memories got burst open from having this this accident and this coma? We could be looking at a combination of very strange factors here.
Well, certainly it proves one thing, that the brain is just an amazing, it's an amazing computer. And perhaps it also speaks to the fact that the brain absorbs everything. It forgets nothing. So maybe while he didn't think he was very good at Mandarin, he wasn't forgetting any of those lessons, and something happened during, you know, after the coma that sort of reawakened that portion of the brain, or allowed all of those lessons that he thought were forgotten to come to the fore.
Scientists have said for a long time that if we knew how to awaken our full capacities that the brain is capable of in terms of remembering, learning, and you know, all these even extrasensory kinds of things, we would be amazing. We use so little of it. So that could well be what happened here.
Well, God forfend I ever end up in a coma, but if I wake up, maybe I'll remember how to do algebra.
That would be one of my wishes too.
speaking of the remarkable human brain, scientists are now talking about, this is amazing too, scientists are now talking about the possibility that in the future we could send emails telepathically. So imagine being able to transmit a message into the mind of a colleague 5,000 miles away just using brain waves.
This is the coming technology, merging physical matter with machine technology. At some point, we're all going to be Borg, and hopefully we'll have the soul and consciousness and morality of human beings, but we're going to have this technology of the Star Trek Borg kinds of entities. And we've had machines that are able to look into dreams, that are able to monitor all sorts of brainwave states. And telepathy has been demonstrated in the laboratory. Of course, human beings have been using telepathy, you know, since ancient times. But with technology, it becomes more of a reliable art than an unpredictable skill. We can send messages telepathically, and it's a very uneven process, and it depends a lot on the rapport between the receiver and the sender. But technology has the potential of leapfrogging over that to provide something that we can replicate and that is as reliable as sending a message over a computer. It's amazing.
Well, I'm from Brantford, Ontario, originally, which is the telephone city. That's where Alexander Graham Bell invented the phone and made, of course, that first historic long-distance telephone call and so forth. But this is, it takes that and it's writ large because it's that technology apparently is here now. I understand that someone in India actually sent an email to a colleague in France, again, using nothing but the power of his mind. They used something called EEG headsets. They recorded this electrical activity from neurons firing in the brain, and they converted the words hola and ciao into binary. And they were able to send a very short email, mind you, but they actually sent it using the mind from India to France. So this has arrived. This technology is here, and it's happening now, Rosemary.
the binary to me seems, you know, it's kind of clunky. I can understand how they did it. I mean, why they chose binary. But it's kind of a clunky way to get a message because the binary then has to be translated on the other end as well. But scientists have been looking at the power of, like, psychokinesis, mind over matter, for some time, and many, many experiments in the laboratory demonstrating that we have the ability to control matter with our minds, and we can control our thoughts, too, to send them at a distance. So this is very exciting emerging technology. What worries me, of course, is always that dark underbelly of potential misuse, because you can imagine how technology like this would be seen as quite a military or strategic weapon even to use in the whole world political arena.
Certainly. And you know, these recent revelations from Mr. Snowden about the NSA, so if they're able to hack emails being sent online over the computer, how much longer will it be before the NSA is hacking into our minds, if they're not already doing that?
And conspiracy theorists say they already are. How do we protect our thoughts? How do we shield our thoughts from intrusive spying by other people? And, you know, our thought, we have natural barriers around our thoughts now. And imagine being completely transparent all of the time. It has a frightening aspect to it as well as an exciting aspect.
Sure. And we've all sent emails, you know, prematurely, and then we thought a second after we sent it, oh boy, I shouldn't have sent that. You know, are we going to have that same problem when we're sending emails, you know, with our mind? Just because you think something and send it in your mind? I mean, this could have, you know, tremendous implications. Listen, I got to ask you about this UFO sighting over a town in Georgia, where this is, you know, right out of Close Encounters, of course, with the person who sees these craft hovering above, and all of a sudden, all the electronics in the vicinity just go kablooey, and that's precisely what happened in Loganville, Georgia.
So many reports like this over the years, Richard, where mysterious lights and sighted craft have been seen hovering around power sources, and then the power in the area is affected. I remember the big wave from, I think it was around 1953, that passed over Washington, D.C. and into the interior of America. There were power outages associated with that. UFOs have been seen hovering over hydroelectrical plants, nuclear power plants, reservoirs. It's like they are looking for energy sources to make use of themselves. And that's the speculation of a lot of ufologists, is that they're drawing power from our power in order to navigate and continue to manifest in our reality. I think many of these craft are interdimensional, not extraterrestrial, and they probably do need some sort of energy source in order to maintain a presence in our reality. So what happened down there in Georgia is very similar to many other reports that we've had throughout the entire post-World War II age of UFOs.
And this was quite a sighting. There were 8 to 10 orb-like lights close to the treetop level, according to this witness. 8 to 10 of these things.
And that's quite a few. Usually people will see one, maybe a couple, but to see that many, that's quite a sighting. And we also don't know if these are craft or they're some sort of sentient energy form, you know, entities, an intelligent presence that's manifesting as an orb of light as well. There could be a number of possibilities there, but the fact that these, whatever they are, when they do show up, they seem to need our energy, and then we do get affected. Our cell phone and telephone capabilities get interrupted. There are power failures. We've had so many cases of contactees in cars. You know, the engine dies, the electrical systems die. so there's an impact on our power sources when these things manifest.
In this case, the witness reported three utilities that were affected as he saw these lights from his back porch. He lost his cell phone, his internet, and his television both went out.
If there are aliens who are capable of doing this on a mass scale, if enough of them ever arrived and were hostile enough, they could probably put the world out of electricity in nothing flat. And that's kind of a scary thought.
All right, Rosemary, always a pleasure. And we'll talk in 1 month's time. But in the meantime, people should check out visionaryliving.com.
Thank you very much, Richard.
My pleasure. Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
All right, and that, we're just inching along here almost to the end, about time to dim the lights. But before we go, just want to mention, coming up next week on the program, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn will be talking about the mystery of the Shemitah. What is the Shemitah? Well, it's a 3,000-year-old mystery that holds the secret of America's future, the world's future, and perhaps your future. That's the mystery of the Shemitah, with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, of course, who is the author of the bestseller The Harbinger, which links sort of the events of 9/11 and the recent economic collapses with some interesting passages in the Bible. Also, wanted to once again mention followthetruth.tv, the website where you can find more details about my upcoming conference, November the 16th. That's a Sunday, all-day conference in Oshawa at the Region Theater. Six amazing speakers. Don Schmidt, the world's preeminent Roswell UFO investigator, Jim Penniston, who is a key witness to the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident. He actually walked around the craft, touched it, took notes, drew pictures in his notebook. Jim Elvidge, of course, the electrical engineer who was with us last week, who has written a book called The Universe Solved, and he posits a very interesting theory that we are living in a digital simulation. This is fascinating stuff. And Professor Ronald Mallett, the theoretical physicist from the University of Connecticut, will talk about time travel, and he is building a time machine, a theoretical time machine. He'll tell you all about that as well. We have each week a brand new question on the followthetruth.tv website. And every week on this program, I'll alert you to that. If you go onto the website, find the question, call in, you could win tickets. Tonight, Bruce Earle and Linda Chalmers both walk away with a pair of tickets to Follow the Truth, the Conspiracy Show Summit, for correctly answering the question on the website, which was the name of the rancher who found the UFO debris near Roswell. That was, of course, Mac Brazel. Congratulations to Bruce and Linda. You each have a pair of tickets, and we'll see you Sunday, November the 16th in Oshawa. Follow the Truth. Thanks, Tim Spreen. Back next week. In the meantime, don't be afraid. There's nothing concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What you hear in the dark, speak in the light, and what I say in a whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Move over, Aphrodite, I'm coming home. Good night.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.